I have a couple things as I run across this last week. There was a guy, I don't know if you know, Pastor Joe Wright. Joe pastored here in Florida, and then he wound up his ministry in Kansas. And he was called on to pray for the opening of the Kansas State Legislature. And this is what he said. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to ask your forgiveness, to seek your guidance and direction. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, and that's exactly what we've done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium. We have inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word in the name of pluralism. We have worshiped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. Father, in the name of choice, we've killed our unborn. Then in the name of right to life, we've killed abortionists. We've neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We've abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it taxes. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography, and we've called it the freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and show us any wickedness in us, then cleanse us from every sin. Set us free. Pretty good, right? I mean, did he hit it? I mean, it was like... And that's basically what Colossians, when we get into it, is going to be. But right now, it's time for the proverb of the week. Are you ready? Commit to the Lord whatever you do. Whatever you do. Bible in another place says, do everything you do as unto the Lord. In here, it says, commit. Give to the Lord what you do. He will establish your plans. So many times we've got that inverted. We make plans. But the proverb writer has something for that. He says, the plans of the Lord are in our mind, but it's the Lord that brings them to pass. God's got it covered real good. Colossians is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the true gospel. It's the only gospel. And if you have to put an adjective in front of the word gospel, it's not the gospel. Adjectives like the new gospel, the prosperity gospel, the healing gospel. No. And you see, that's what Paul was fighting in this young church. It was a church that was not established, I remind you, by Paul. It was established by a man called Epaphroditus. And when we have gone through this, we find out in the first several verses that Paul had heard about their faith in Jesus Christ and their love for people. He heard that they had heard the true message of the gospel, and that the gospel was bearing fruit, and that the gospel was spreading, and churches were being built everywhere the word goes. You see, the word of God and the gospel are powerful forces that the evil of this world cannot harness or stop. It is an amazing thing what God can do when the gospel is in a person, when that the fruit that they bear not in what we do in our abilities. You see, that's one of the things that I think we've failed to share over the years. We have made it sound like we need to have a lot of wisdom and be smart, and we need to be just great in everything that we do. Real talented, real power. I mean, just the greatest of all the people on earth, and that's that old French word, garbage. Now, that doesn't mean there are not great people. I'm not downing that. But this gospel, in the words of a child, can conquer hell and its demons. And in fact, many, many families, rotten families, immoral families, have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ because of the witness of a little child that's gone to Vacation Bible School and heard about this man Jesus. You see, that's the important. That's why over and over and over and over you're going to hear the words, the gospel. I ran across an interesting story. I like it when people are so smart, particularly the English. Now, I watch all English TV. I don't watch anything made in America. I'm done with it, tired of it, okay? But they have these, like this lady was married to the second Earl of Thanet, and he was the third baronet. Now, I don't know if he was in the band or what, but that was the title, okay? And this lady, Lady Anne Tufton Grimston. Now, when I tell you a story, that last name, Grimston, is going to have meaning. You see, this lady knew it all. And she did not believe in the doctrine of the resurrection, okay? She said this, I would think that seeds would force themselves through the stonework of a tomb as that a dead body should do so, or that trees could spring forth out of my graves as if in any form should raise from there. Bear witness, my friends, to what I say. If there's any truth in the word of God, may seven trees grow from my grave. That was her challenge. In our English, which is a lot plainer, she's just saying, if the gospel of resurrection is true, okay, if it's true, then the seed could be planted in my grave and trees would grow. William, what we got? Seven trees have broken up this tomb. You can't see it from this side. There we go. This whole area was a tomb, including this. They can't even get in there through this fence because the trees have grown up. And the people in that area say it is one of the tallest trees in London. And five have grown out of one seed, and it looks like they are raising their arms in triumph. Friends, I want to tell you something. You can doubt your friends, doubt anything in the world you want to, but do not doubt the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? All right, what we got this week? Well, we got some good words. Why, you know, I like the fact she said seed. In Luke 8:11, in the story of the sower, it says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Now, y'all know the parable of the sower. There's several in there. So the seed through the Bible points out it is the word of God. And in Hebrews 4:12, this is what the Hebrew writer, through the Spirit of God, said about the word of God. The word of God is alive, okay? It's a living word. and it's active. It's continually going, always in motion. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Let me show you something. Soul and spirit are not two things. It shows the fullness of this active, living Word of God through the joints and through the marrow, okay? It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. A two-edged sword. It brings comfort and nourishment to everyone that believes. But at the same time, it brings judgment and execution to those who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, to the world today that is mocking this gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, they're not just adding to it. I think the religions of today, man-made religions, they add all kind of stuff in order to appeal to the crowd. You know, we've had a lot of presidents, and if you ask them what do they think, they stick their finger up to see which way the wind blows. And whatever way the wind blows, that's what they think. No leadership. That's free. The Word of God is active, never passive. It bears fruit. It will either bring judgment or bring blessing. No two things else. Let's look at Colossians, first chapter, 9 through 14. This is good stuff. Y'all ready? Have you got your copy of the Word of God? Do you have your phone or iPad or something? Don't ever come without a Bible. Some way to follow me, okay? You hear Pastor Joe say this all the time. Make sure what I'm saying is the truth, okay? For this reason, what reason? The 9 verses before talked about he had heard about their faith. He had heard about the fruit. He had heard about all the things that were going on there. And he was praying for them, praying a prayer. For this reason, since the day I heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Let's hold that right there, will you? Here's what I think this is pointing out. And I'll tell you what it's pointing out in the form of a question. How much intercessory prayer do you involve yourselves in? You see, if you only pray once a day, you're not gonna have time you get through everything you want from God. Time you get your list done, it's time to go on to something else. This shows the value of continually being in prayer. It shows the value of something like when an ambulance goes by you, ask God's grace and mercy. You don't have to know what's going on, and for goodness sake, don't stop and rubberneck and cause another wreck. Just a quick, Lord, have mercy and be with that family or whatever's going on. Praying for each other. You know, if we prayed rather than complained, the thing that we prayed about would become so much better because it would be in the hands of a loving God who wants to be glorified through his people. I encourage you, pray intercessory prayers. Stand in the gap for people. And then don't go on Facebook or text and brag about what you've done. Leave it between you and God, particularly if someone is not a believer. If someone is not a believer and they have shut you out and just said, I don't want to hear that garbage, then you pray before God. The Word of God is active. It's not passive. It's sharper. It'll cut through. It'll get to the heart of the person. And that's what you want to begin with. What God's will is, this is, you know, I hear, Lord, what is my will? What is your will for this guy that I'm going to marry? or this woman I'm going to marry. And in reality, God's sitting up there listening, and in our heart, we're saying, give me an approval, because I'm going to marry him anyhow. Now, this is talking about the will of God in the story of life. How do I bring God glory? How do people see God through me? That's the will of God. And then everything else, your job, your marriage, where you live, all the things that we spend so much time wondering about the will of God, let's figure out how the Word of God is going to form us in everything that we are to bring glory, honor, and praise to God, because that is the will of God towards man. Through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit of God gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Now, that don't mean that we're worthy of the salvation that we've been given. We're not worthy. That's the beauty. That's the power. That's the glory of salvation, this gift of salvation. We're not. But once we receive Christ, live in a worthy manner of that which is in us, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. That will create a life that is worthy. And if it doesn't, and there's no change in the life, then the Word of God's not in you, okay? Because the Word of God changes you, all right? Now, it may not change you in an instant, in the blink of an eye, but in the course of your life, the Word of God, through the guidance of the Spirit, will change that life to become who God called us to be, okay? So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Paul had already said to you, to the Colossians, hey guys, your word is bearing fruit. Christians are popping up everywhere. Churches are popping up. When you look at your life, are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? That's what the Word of God does. When we allow it the freedom to live, to work, and for us to be those implements, growing in the knowledge of God. Listen, we're no longer to stay in infancy, not knowing who we are, who God is, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened. Why are we weak? Why do we fold up when the least opposition comes? See, these are all indications that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, has entered your life. You have received that forgiveness that Christ bought on the cross for you. You have received the righteousness of God, and He has taken away that old life. These are indicators. You're strengthened, and you have all power according to not your might. Whose might? Huh? Hello? Who is His? Good work. Go ahead. So, why? This is a reason. You may have great endurance and patience. See, it's not brain surgery. God has a perfect plan. And when we commit, when we submit to God, and we are being strengthened, the outcome is endurance and patience. And the Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. It doesn't mean that that enduring to the end causes you to be saved. Again, it's an indicator of your relationship with God that you endure. Endurance simply means you don't give in, okay? And giving joyful thanks to the Father. In all things, we're to be thankful. Who has he qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, okay? For he has, I love this, rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that beautiful? Gospel in a nutshell. I know you've heard it before because I said it last week. And Paul's going to continue to talk about it because Peter also said we are to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. And that reason for hope is not our circumstances. It's not our hope that things are going to be all right. It is the actual proof of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Jesus is our sovereign Lord, Savior, and Master, when that is who we are, we're His, then He gives us endurance in order for all things, because it strengthens us to face the next day. It helps us. I would hope there's nobody here that picks up a newspaper, if you still read those things, and rush to the horoscope to find out what you ought to do today. Okay, if you want to find out what you need to do every day, get in the Word of God, okay? First thing it'll tell you is to be thankful. You see, these are indicators. The power of the gospel delivers us. Paul used the word rescue. Rescue simply means you're in a pickle and you can't get out. Remember that all-time favorite movie, Lassie? It was amazing. He'd fall in a hole. Lassie, go tell him I'm in a hole. And dog would go bark. And they'd say, oh, he's in a hole. That was amazing to me. I didn't know barkology was taught anywhere. But see, when we get messed up, we got to have somebody to rescue us. Do you know why people have gotten so hard that every immorality that you see today is because of the hardness of heart? If you didn't know that, shame on you. If you didn't know that, first chapter of the book of Romans, all you have to read. God gave them over 3 times, and God is still giving people over to what they choose. And every time God gives over, that heart is harder and harder and harder. And so nothing is impossible. We're delivered from lostness. We're delivered from the wrath of God. Listen, I'm not going to mention that crazy guy's, silly boy's name that just says, God loves you. God just wants you to be healthy and wealthy. God don't want you to go, you know, I don't know what God he's talking about. But there is a wrath of God against all unrighteousness. And you see, that should put fear and trembling in the heart of people. But it doesn't, because the conscience is seared. Why? Because God gave them over. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But the Bible is very plain. When people choose to sin against God, they put themselves under the wrath of God. Now, you may sit there saying, how bad can the wrath of God be? Read how Jesus looked when he went to the cross. They beat him to the point that he was unrecognizable, and they hung him on a cross. Why? Because the sins of the world were placed on him. He became sin. Sin is disobedience towards God. and God's wrath was poured out on his son. That's what makes salvation so precious. Salvation rescues us from the ultimate penalty of sin, and that is ultimate separation from God. What makes hell so dark and so bad is that every person who will spend eternity in hell will have, before they are sentenced to hell by God, will have confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, was the penalty for sin, and will spend eternity knowing it didn't have to be this way. There's no one to cry out to, because God has been eternally separated from them. How does this occur? Faith. Faith is a supernatural, gracious gift from God he produces in the heart. When Christ, through the Spirit, convicts us of our sin and shows us the Savior, he even gives us the seed of faith to believe. You see, that seed of faith is not a one-time event. No, it's an ongoing condition. Romans chapter 10. Christ is the culmination of the law. What does that mean? Fulfillment, what man couldn't do. He is that culmination. He is the only one who, through the culmination of the law, obtained righteousness. The law never produced righteousness to anybody else through the law. Why? No one else could keep the law. That was why the law was given. This is the moral law. This is the best way to live. And buddy, you can't do it. That's what the law was for. Culmination of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. The righteousness of Christ. He takes our sinfulness, our unrighteousness, and places in us his righteousness. Moses writes about this, the righteousness that is by the law, Moses says. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, and get this now, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. More people get all upset about, what does this mean? It means if it were possible, you don't go on this odyssey to look for God. You don't go in the heavens. You don't go into the earth. You're not on this trail, this odyssey, that you cannot. Why? Because he's obvious. He is here. Okay, let's speak. The word is near you. Here we go. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare, confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that verse right there kills a lot of foolish theology that's running around the world, okay? If you confess, I'm not God, I never will be God, I can't save myself, and this belief is not just saying, okay, I believe in a historical Jesus. No, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Lord. And you believe to the point you know it, you will be saved. Period. Okay? I won't go any more with that. For it is with your heart that you believe, and you're justified. Okay? And it is with your mouth that you profess that your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone. What's that? Anyone. Huh? Anyone. I got hearing aids. What?
Anyone.
Okay. Who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew or Gentile. Okay? The same Lord is Lord over all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, here we go again. What is that, third time? Will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Let's just stop it right there. We've heard all about the gospel. Chances are most everyone in here has heard the gospel numerous times, and I pray you all know it. But see, that's not the end of your life, and that's not the end of your knowing it. You are equipped, you are commissioned, you are called, and you are sent. Every person has a mission field. Mission field could be where you live, the club you're in, the guys you play golf with. Who knows? God will let you know. The gospel is not for the elite. It's for everyone. Today, if you have never received Christ personally as your Savior, today is the best day. In fact, today may be the only day for you. If you know Christ personally, it's time we got real. The gospel bears fruit if we share it. You're called, you're equipped, you're strengthened, and you're sent. Fathers, we come to you today, thank you. You've also said that your word, when it goes out, will accomplish everything that it's sent out to accomplish. And so, Lord Jesus, bear fruit today. In Jesus' name, amen.